And welcome back, everybody, to the latest edition of the Padre Cast, which follows a very exciting 3 or 4 days. Not only in terms of the NFL draft and everything with that, but a ton of Madden information, a ton of Madden media. Usually, this is when they start ramping up promoting the game, and they certainly did that, not even just in what they've promoted, but we've been able to discover a couple interesting additions and improvements to the game outside of that. So it's been a very busy few days for me. I finally got some sleep last night, and I was working off like 3 hours of sleep, but I'm nonstop on the website, and it's I'm seeing that people are appreciating it. I'm working on screenshots of the rookies in their new uniforms and all sorts of stuff, and grading of the Madden, the draft in terms of how it's going to impact Madden for all the teams. I mean, I'm going to be busy for a few more days, and it's actually really exciting for me, and it's fun to see the response. And the website's gotten the highest traffic. I believe 2 out of the last 3 days have been 2 of the highest traffic days in the history of the website. So it's been a lot of fun, and despite being tired and everything, this is what I do it for. This is, I get a lot of enjoyment out of this, and following the draft and having researched the draft so much, really felt like it paid off watching all those names come off the board. Knowing when the Jaguars took Tyson Alualu, that no one expected him to go that high, stuff like that. It made it a lot of fun to follow and know exactly where these developments were coming from and what kind of players they are and how they're going to factor into Madden. So that's just kind of my opening. I've got Fred here again. You're back this week after you forced me to run the show by myself. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Pasta. It's good to be back. I had like just a week long hiatus. I don't know if I know the guys on the forum knew, but we were blessed with our firstborn last Thursday, April 15th. So, things were a little crazy. Tried to keep up with posting articles on the site, but yeah, it did feel a little different. It's kind of good to get back in the swing of things, and especially like you said, with all the Madden info that came out, the draft. I wasn't nearly into the draft as I have been. A couple things with the Bears not having first or second round picks, and then changing the format to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but I did follow it, and the Madden info, ton of it. I really can't wait till we start talking about that.
Yeah, so the first thing that broke was usually the first thing that breaks, and that's the Drew Brees getting the cover. And everybody knew Drew Brees was going to get the cover. We've talked about this before. EA set it up, obviously. There was zero chance they were ever going to have Jared Allen on the cover of Madden. I mean, come on. They put Drew Brees with the two guys. Reggie Wayne, great player. He's just kind of under the radar. He's a Pro Bowl type player, very good. But I mean, he's overshadowed by his own teammate, Peyton Manning, and then Jared Allen. I mean, they're just. I was shocked that they even put him in there having 3 DUIs. And we've talked about, the going towards cover athletes who they don't have to worry about getting into trouble and those kind of things, and being more of the athlete that the people can look up to, and they stuck him there with Drew Brees, and obviously the guy went and he won the Super Bowl with the Saints, and he's a even if you're not a Saints fan, I think most people, and maybe those in the fans of rival teams in the NFC South might disagree, but I think most people like Drew Brees. He's a generally likable guy. He does a lot for the community, and he puts up huge numbers, and he led his team to the Super Bowl. It was an obvious choice. You probably don't disagree at all on that, right?
No, I don't. As you know, I went to Purdue, and I was there the same time Brees was, same class. So it was fun watching him. So I've always been a big fan of his. Like you said, he does quite a bit, not only for the New Orleans community, but still does a lot of stuff for Purdue. Donates a ton of money. They have facilities named after him and he and his wife. So I'm glad that he got it. At the same time, I just hope he doesn't suck now. Doesn't have like an injury-plagued year. Doesn't have some kind of bad year just because of this this cover curse. But yeah, it couldn't have been handed to a better guy, I think.
Yeah, the cover curse is always a fun topic because, generally the cover guy is coming off a career year. And maybe, Drew Brees had a couple of great years before this, but generally they're coming off career years. And eventually injuries catch up to players, or, if Drew Brees went pretty much, he was healthy all last year. Put up huge numbers. I mean, what are the chances? He's a great player, but still, what are the chances he's going to repeat that under completely different circumstances for a second year in a row. So, the Saints, I think, they don't have a lot of holes on that team, and they had a pretty good draft. I don't see any reason why they would have a down year. Of course, there is always the freak injury, and if that happens, the first thing people say is it's a cover curse. And maybe it is. I don't know. But Larry Fitzgerald got through the year mostly all right. He didn't have the huge season, but I mean, also you're coming off a season like Larry Fitzgerald had, and there's no way defense is going to double team him, triple team him. So it's hard to keep those things going. But yeah, Drew Brees is definitely an excellent choice. He probably could have, he could have been snagged as the choice without having a vote. The vote was just done to get people involved. And same with the demo, which had a different outcome than I think most people would have expected. But I think that happened because of the vote being split between Saints fans having two options, and then Jets and Vikings fans being able to vote for their side. And the Jets side was stronger, and also the Jets have a bunch of additions people want to play with. So that demo out sometime in July will be Jets at Colts. We also got some more information on the simpler, quicker, deeper mantra for this year. And there's mixed response to this. And personally, I'm a big fan of things where they're trying to enhance the overall experience. I know a lot of people want it to be exactly true to life, true to TV presentation. They want the games to last 3 hours. some of these people do. I mean, I'm not like that. Now, I'm very much sim oriented, but at the same time, the fun nature, the experience is just as important to me. So Madden taking an hour to play a single game, I mean, yeah, one solution could be in-game saves, those type of things, but still, it's an hour commitment. And you now having a daughter, it's going to be harder to find for a lot of people. It's difficult to separate out, okay, I have an hour to play a game. I can play one game of Madden, or I can go online and play like six games of Call of Duty. Or it's an investment. You have to invest that hour for one game. So that makes it pretty difficult. So the idea that they're trying to trim that back makes a lot of sense to me, and it appeals to me. I just don't want it infringing on the gameplay. So, I could play a Madden game in 5 minutes if I set the quarters to 1 minute. But that doesn't give me the outcome that I want. Doesn't give me the experience that I want. So what they're trying to do now with streamlined play calling, that's all we know right now, anyways, is the new play calling and the game flow system, which is going to kind of call plays for you. Is they're trimming out that period of time where you're flipping through playbooks. And this is all optional. First of all, I should throw that out. It's optional. You can still go in and call plays the way you always have. So this is for people who don't want to do that. This is for people who want to speed up the experience. So we're getting this new play calling system, and whether it'll work really well or not, I don't know. In modes like Superstar mode, where the coach calls plays for you, they've sucked. The plays have always sucked. I don't know if you ever played the Superstar mode where you're like a quarterback or something. You go up and you're a running back. This is the best example. You're a running back, and you see the play that's been called, and you know you're going to get tackled for a loss.
The play calling is beyond terrible, and it's like even the routes that they call for, like let's say you're a wide receiver, they'll call a certain route, and I every time I just break off and run my own route and just tell them to throw it to me. But yeah, or it's like 3rd and 13, and they call like a halfback dive or a draw or something. Yeah. Just totally stupid play calling.
Yeah, it's like, or like the counter play where you're this is. You get graded on these things as the individual, and you're like, "Oh, this is going to be a 5-yard loss for me," and there goes my stats for the game. And so hopefully the actual play calling element of it is improved. I mean, we've seen in Superstar mode and Road to the Show, those type of things where these career modes have different goals and the play calling and the football games where sometimes it just doesn't make a lot of sense and it can ruin things. So. People generally call the same plays, and I don't know if that's because they're comfortable with them or because they know what plays work or what routes work. Like, I've always loved slants, but corners used to work really well, but there are certain routes where you look at and you're like, okay, I'm going to get sacked before this route develops, or this, I'm too too far. I'm on this hash line, and this route is an out, and I'll never be able to make it. Stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see if they've enhanced the what goes into what plays are called. But otherwise, I like the idea of shortening it. If a game can be played in 30 minutes and I still get realistic stats and I still have realistic possessions, you look at the NFL. There was that study recently where an NFL game has just about 12 minutes of action. So you're sitting through 3 hours, but a lot of that's huddling up, timeouts, commercial breaks, all that stuff. It's actually 12 minutes of action out of all that, from the time of snap to the whistle. So you have all that time, and where that translates in Madden is setting depth charts, calling plays, flipping through different menus, where people spend so much time doing everything but playing the game. And so that's what they're trying to trim back on. So I'm all in support of that. I know some people think, it's catering to the casual players. Well, yeah, I mean, most people who play this game play it casually. The hardcore people who want to play for 3 hours and get, play 15-minute quarters with no accelerated clock or something, and call all, pre-snap everything before hiking it, those people are the minority. I want to play fast. It's probably why I enjoy arcade games so much. It's why, Madden Arcade, NFL Tour, the bigs, because I can hop on and, even if I play online, I can hop on and it's just 15 minutes. And it prevents people from quitting also, because in a game of Madden, if it's going to take an hour online and somebody's up on you by four touchdowns, that's why people quit. They don't want to sit for another 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and through hell.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so trimming back on this, I think it's a really good idea. This is probably the most exciting addition, and it hasn't been confirmed yet, but I can confirm it myself anyway, that Gus Johnson is an announcer this year. Everybody has complained about Tom Hammond, very dry. I actually like Hammond sometimes on real broadcasts, but yeah, he didn't work for Madden. Gus Johnson, very excitable. The guy, I mean, during the NCAA tournament, made those games so much fun to watch. The question is always, can it translate to a video game where pre-recorded lines have to be matched up with what's happening on the screen? What do you think of Gus Johnson coming in? Do you think this is gonna, the atmosphere, the excitement, you think it's gonna bring that up?
Well, like you said, how that I like Gus Johnson, as an announcer, but like you said, I don't know how that's going to translate into a video game. I think it can only help.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. I especially loved him during the NCAA tournament, so he's a good announcer. I think it's a good addition, but I'll still kind of wait and see until how it actually ends up coming out in the game.
Yeah, the other thing is, how will he mesh with his partner? And it's going to be Chris Collinsworth. He's going to stay. I've always liked Collinsworth the
Yeah.
last couple of years. The way he delivers his analysis in the game, very natural. And so if Gus Johnson can sound naturally excitable and get that to fit with the game, him and Collinsworth could be a pretty good duo. Of course, Gus Johnson is a CBS guy. Collinsworth, he works on NBC, right?
Yeah, so
Yeah.
the Sunday.
So there was a lot of speculation about ESPN or CBS or NFL Network or NBC presentation. It's not going to happen. They just have the regular EA Sports presentation. NCAA football is getting ESPN. The problem with the network presentation in Madden has always been, okay, NFL Network doesn't want them using ESPN. ESPN obviously wants them using ESPN and not NFL Network. So we're seeing it in different areas of the game. So ESPN gets NCAA football. They're probably happy about that. And ESPN gets different elements within Madden. NFL Network gets some of those franchise, like the halftime show, things like that. Whether we'll see, CBS and Fox presentation in Madden 1 year, it's possible, but it's not happening this year. We also got, this is another unannounced feature, but was spoiled by GameStop, and that's online team play. We had online co-op last year, which was I could hook up with someone to play the CPU, and it had unique camera angles from positions, that you were controlling, because you controlled just the one player from start to end. There were a lot of problems with that. It really wasn't that compelling because there was nothing on the line. It was just you and a buddy against the computer. Didn't keep stats. Didn't have, you weren't playing other people, so it loses a lot of appeal that way. There was no, I didn't keep records. There was nothing to play for, which is probably the biggest problem I had with it. Outside of play calling was a hassle, and the camera angles were off at times. But I kind of figured that was the bridge to this year where we'd get real online team play, and it's going to be 3 versus 3. And I think that's perfect, at least for now. You can have someone control a quarterback, running back, wide receiver. On defense, most people have their preferred positions, but most people probably could play any position. I like to play a defensive back, maybe a safety or a corner if the camera's good enough. We played a little bit of the online team play with NBA Live. Do you think this is going to work as well for Madden as it would for maybe a basketball game or a soccer where it's been really done well the last few years?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've played both of those games, online, the Live and FIFA, and I did like Live, and I think the thing that was kind of cool about that game was,
That we sucked.
yeah, but it was like once you started playing as a team. You know, you had designated roles. So I remember, like, when we would play, we'd say, okay, I'm just gonna take, a center, and my focus will be just rebounding, defense, blocking shots. You know, you take this guy who, like Kobe, who's gonna just be scoring, and I'll take a point guard. I'm not sure how you do that in this game. Like, are you gonna be able to, like in NBA Live, you could basically pick your squad. You could make an all-star squad pretty much. Like, or are you designated to just playing with, the Seahawks or the Bears, and so you have to play. Someone has to play as Cutler, or someone has to play as, whoever else. It just seems like I don't think that it's going to be a bad thing. I think just adding more options is a good thing, but I just don't know how it's going to translate online. How are you going to play? Like, let's say that someone's a quarterback, right? Who is everyone going to want to be the quarterback because, they're going to have the ball in their hands like every snap, or someone going to play wide receiver and be pissed off because they don't get the ball thrown to them,
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it's funny you say that. People are going to experience what these real players experience. Do you want to know why Terrell Owens complains about not getting the ball? Run a route, get open, and then have your quarterback get sacked, and then you're going to be frustrated probably in a similar way, which is going to be interesting. How people respond to that. You make a good point, though. Are we going to be taking over real players? We don't know that yet. But we saw with NHL, with their EA Sports Hockey League, it was you did your guy and be a pro. You created your guy, and then you took him online to play online team play. That would be pretty cool. I think people would be willing to build characters, even for those off positions. So, I might have a running back. I might have a quarterback also, but take that person online, help to build up their stats, work as a team. But yeah, I think there has to be something, some kind of pull to it where there's reason for competition. So, are you going to care if you go online and you suck, you play really bad, or you screw up other people's experience by running the wrong routes, or as a quarterback, just taking sacks over and over or something, just to mess with other people? Is there going to be a penalty to that? Or, you should have your own personal stats. There should also be team stats, kind of like the clubs that we had, where, me, you, and someone else, or more people than that, and then however many from that group get online. We have our own squad, and then, we can be tied to that, and then have those stats. As a receiver, you're not going to get the ball on every down. If you leave a game with 7 catches or something, that's going to be a good feeling, even though during the game you're going to be thinking, I only caught a ball, one out of every 8 plays or something. That's still a lot. It's going to be an adjustment. So it'll be fascinating, I think, to see how people take to it. I don't think we're ready for 11 on 11. You're right. I don't think anybody wants to play offensive line. On defense, I think everybody would be interested in all the different positions. But on offense, offensive line, you don't want to be a fullback. You don't want to be blocking. You don't want to be blocking the whole game. You want to at least have the possibility of making a play. But it'll be fun, and I can't wait to try it out. I love the online team play stuff. I love the cooperative feel to things. But then also having that, it's going to be cooperative and competitive by playing other people.
The other thing is too, I think one of the big differences between this and the NBA Live is, okay, so when we play the squad games of NBA Live, you could play that game and not run a single offensive set or defensive set. With this, you have to call some kind of play. Who's in charge of that? Is it the guy who's the quarterback? What about if like you call a pass and I'm like, no, I want to call a run, and I get pissed off. You know, there's just a lot of questions I think still about this mode that have to be answered.
So that could be, I wonder if they could take that game flow play calling system and put it in. That would solve it. Because last year in the co-op, the quarterback called all the plays, which is fine if you're playing with one other person and your friends, and you're like, okay, call a pass for me or call a run, because you can switch off. So it'd be me and Jerkface Fave played co-op a few times, and he, I'd be quarterback, and I'd be like, okay, I'm calling a running play. So then he'd take over the running back, or okay, I'm calling a passing play, and he'd go out and start as a wide receiver. So if we have more people connected in, they could take that play calling system and call the plays for us. So then we wouldn't have to worry about what player are we going to call. You're favoring this guy over another guy. So I think that'd be one possibility. But then, yeah, in the end, it's you got to be playing with people you like, and you'll probably have fun one way or the other. So yeah, that's online team play. The other big thing was the release, and this is huge, as I can see from page views, is always Madden ratings, and we got the top 10 for the quarterbacks, and along with that, we got a breakdown with some other individual categories. Top 10, Peyton Manning and Drew Brees are tied at the top with 99, and it goes all the way down to 89 with Romo and Schaub tied for 10th. Awareness, Peyton Manning; agility, Vince Young; stamina, Tom Brady; throwing power, Matt Stafford; toughness, Brett Favre; accuracy, Drew Brees. Anything stand out to you here?
No, not really. We kind of talked about this before the show. I thought that the top 10 ratings are, pretty much right on. You can make an argument for a couple guys here and there, but overall, I think that they're about right.
Yeah, Drew Brees is going to be a beast, and not that he wasn't before, but short throw accuracy 99, medium accuracy 98, deep accuracy 92, throw on the run 82, play action 88. I mean, he is so well-rounded. Usually you'll find Peyton Manning, okay, he's going to be sitting in the pocket the whole time. You can't really move him out. Drew Brees can do anything. Or you get stuck with the Vince Youngs, who you're going to be on the move half the time, or your accuracy is going to suck. So Drew Brees is probably, I would say Drew Brees is probably the better Madden quarterback than Peyton Manning, even though they're tied at 99. A lot of people, I see a lot of people talking about Eli Manning not being in the top 10. I can somewhat understand that. Eli Manning doesn't really have the weapons that Romo or even Schaub has, but I think Romo and Schaub, rightfully so, are probably above him, and Eli's probably right outside of that. He's probably an 88 or so. McNabb being a 90, we've discussed this before, and that's the NFC East fans. They love their own players, and they hate the others. So all of a sudden, even Eagles fans are talking about how Donovan McNabb is overrated. Last year, they were talking about how he was underrated. It's always fun to follow ratings, and it always gets a lot of discussion. People love to talk about it.
Yeah, it still amazes me that people love to talk about ratings so much. I remember when we used to get the game early when we were running Mad Nation and Sports Gamer, and I'd say, ask questions. Every single question would be about ratings. It was ridiculous,
Yeah, and it's less about Madden, I think, than it is about football. People just love to talk football, and they want to feel like their guys are getting respected, or they want to talk down about their rivals' guys. I mean, it's always a fun thing to talk about, and it never fails. Any ratings nuggets I can get, I try to get out there because people love them. So that's where we're at. All we have is the quarterbacks. When I'm at E3, man, that's getting close. It's only about 6 weeks away. I'll try to grab some ratings if I can get away with it. We'll see. Last year I grabbed some team ratings and a few player ratings. I can't just stand there and copy down ratings though. So understand that, but I'll try to get a few to get out there anyways, just for fun. So that pretty much wraps up all the Madden stuff. It's a ton of stuff. cover athlete, improvements to the game, the play calling system, Gus Johnson online team play, and these quarterback ratings. Ton of stuff the last few days, along with trying to tie that in with the NFL draft with what I'm doing. So we'll flip over now, change pace here a little bit with some entertainment news. A couple stories here I thought stood out as interesting during the week, and the first is, I don't know how much you watch shows on Hulu. I occasionally do. My DVR catches most things, but when I miss it, I usually hit up Hulu. And they're starting a subscription service for about $10 a month. They'll have access to a deeper library, basically. So if I wanted to watch an ABC show, let's just say V, and I went on, I missed a couple episodes, I could go on and watch V, the last five episodes. But if I wanted to see any episodes prior to that, I would have to be a member of the site and be paying that $10 a month cost. So there wasn't any mention. The general idea had been that this would also remove commercials, and there was no mention of that, which is interesting because I don't know. I think some people would pay to remove ads. I don't think they're terribly distracting. They're usually 30 seconds, but there's been talk about these online websites, Hulu, and all the network official websites making the ads as long as you would get on TV. So you might end up getting 2-minute ads in between breaks, which would probably get more people to pay for a subscription. What do you think? Any chance you would ever consider paying to watch shows online?
No, because there's other ways to get these shows, you know, for free. But from okay, so let's say that I actually did use Hulu. I think it's good that they're still allowing, you know, the five most recent episodes for free, because it's sort of like they're archiving everything else, and for $10 you're able to access anything. That to me, that seems like a small fee if you're really intent on using it for, you know,
Yeah.
if you're intent on getting your money's worth, I think it's worth it. But for me, there's plenty of websites out there where I can get, you know, shows I miss. But I don't watch many TV shows. I watch a lot more movies than I do TV shows. And so I'm lucky enough to where my DVR, sometimes, you know, I don't run into the problem where I'm recording too many shows at once and I'm gonna miss one.
Oh, I do.
So, yeah,
I have
see,
that problem.
that never happens to me. I only watch like Survivor and a couple other shows, and they're never on at the same time. So this would be useless for me, but I think it's a good service that they're offering. Especially because you're able to see the last five, and anything else should be archived. $10, that's not a big deal.
Man, do you remember the days when if you missed an episode, you were screwed?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember the days, you know, set the VCR or didn't work or something, and then you were just done. It was over.
Yeah.
You
My
had missed it.
friend was like that. He was one of these guys who would reuse the same tape and just keep
Yeah.
recording over it, you know? And one day, I forgot. I think we were recording some like season finale of a show. I forgot which one it was. And we had used that tape so much that it just like ripped during the recording, and so we didn't even know it till the show was over and we were trying to watch it. And then all of a sudden, you know, halfway through the show, the thing just
Oh,
craps out, and we were like not even able to know that it happened. So,
that's brutal. Thank God for technology, I'll
yeah,
tell you.
DVRs, man. I even find myself, okay, if I'm home and something's on, like let's say Survivor starts at 8 o'clock my time, I usually wait till 8:20 to start watching, just so I could fast forward
Exactly.
through all the commercials.
I do the exact same thing. I'm like, I wait until about 15 minutes after. I'm like, that'll cover the commercials,
Yeah.
and then I get into it because I can't stand the waiting around. I'm a very much multitasker, so you know, I'll have like an NBA playoff game on, but I'll also be working on the computer, kind of like out the corner of my eye, doing two different things at once. I can't just sit there through commercials; it
No.
kills me.
Yeah.
So we also had the release of Avatar this week on DVD and Blu-ray. And previous show we talked a lot about this, but I wasn't gonna get it, and I know you're not getting it, but I wasn't gonna get it. Well, that was mostly because of the cost. I thought, you know, $27 or something for a Blu-ray for a movie that, you know, I'm not sure I really need to own it. I mean, I thought it was a good movie and everything, but yeah, it loses the 3D and everything. There's no extras. But then Amazon dropped it to $19.99, so I figured, okay, I'll get it. I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to, and when I do, I'll post a review of like the video quality and everything. What I've read though is it looks amazing, about as good as you could ever expect a movie to look on just, Blu-ray. And it broke the record. I don't know if that's a surprise for anyone. It might be given the circumstances without having extras and everything. But it broke the Blu-ray record. It beat The Dark Knight, and it sold 1.5 million copies in the first day. DVD numbers aren't out yet, but it's expected probably to break the record there also. Any chance you would consider buying it, or you're just dead set against it, right?
Yeah, I'm just dead set against it. I'll plan on seeing it in the IMAX again, and then
August, right? I think it's coming back out in August, yeah.
And then I'll
Six
just
extra,
pick.
yeah, 6 extra minutes too onto that.
Yeah, I know. For me, I can wait. I thought the movie was okay. The story itself was okay. I thought the what made it was watching it in 3D and high def at the IMAX. So I'll just wait and then get the DVD when it releases again with all the extras, because I do whenever I buy a movie, I do actually use all those extras. Like, I'll watch them, when I'm bored, or a lot of these Blu-ray Lives or whatever those things are called, and I use those. And especially like the ones that were kind of cool to me were the ones on, I don't know if you got any of them on the HD DVDs, but like the Transformer ones where it was telling you the different Autobots and Decepticons, where they were in the
Yeah,
world and all that. Like,
I
that
love that
stuff,
stuff.
yeah, that stuff's cool to me. And so if I can get a DVD with that kind of extras on it, I'll just wait. I'll just rent the movie, or check it out some way, and just do it that way till I get a full money's worth.
Yeah, I've been buying many lately, and I've just been getting the movies that I love, that I've seen and love. And Fantastic Mr. Fox is one of the few others I've bought recently. That's actually it's really good on Blu-ray too. But Avatar, yeah, I had to get it. Maybe more so just to review it and let people know what I thought of it. But it's interesting to see people are gobbling it up at retail. Which I'm not sure that's a huge surprise, but still, it's an interesting study on where consumers' importance lies and whether whether it'll sell a lot when it comes out with extras. It probably will, but how many people are going to pay now that bought this bare bones one to get a new one? I don't know. Like I probably won't. I mean, you'll get it because you didn't have the first Avatar release, but I don't see why I would buy another one. And so if whether that hurts it in the long run, maybe I'll end up getting a 3D one though when that comes out. My TV actually has 3D capability. Be interesting to finally get to see what that's like. I probably won't like it. I can't see myself wearing 3D glasses around the house. Gaming either. I don't like the idea really of home 3D output. I don't know. That's just me. We got one more thing I wanted to bring up real quick, and that was Ridley Scott, who's currently working on the first prequel to Alien. Says there's going to be two of them, and they're going to be in 3D. No surprise there. Pretty much every action big budget movie is going to be 3D now. But what do you think? What do you think of them going back to Alien and doing so with a prequel?
That's interesting. I've always been a fan of the Alien movies, more so the first and second.
Even the last one?
Yeah, that was gonna say the last one was, I don't know, it was a little weird, but no, I think that a prequel was really the only way to go if they were planning on, releasing another one of these things. I thought I watched the original Alien just like last month, I think, and like you really see how. They tried really hard at the time that film was made to make it look really high tech and everything. And then you just see how cheesy it looks with all these like old computers and like little buttons and all that. But no, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I've always liked the movies and 3D release. That's no surprise. But yeah, I think Ridley Scott. I usually liked his other work too. Didn't he do Gladiator and Robin Hood and all that stuff? So.
Yeah, Robin Hood coming up, and I don't think that one. Yeah, they tried to sucker him into making that one 3D. I don't think it's going to be 3D. I can't remember,
No,
but
I don't think so. I didn't think I heard anything about that either.
yeah, I read an article where he was talking about they might have delayed it to do that, and I just hate the idea of that. If it's not filmed with 3D in mind, like they can go into Alien into these prequels. Okay, this is going to be a 3D movie, so let's make it so that it works well for a 3D movie. And one thing that he discussed when talking about all this was, it's a lot tougher to do 3D in low light situations, and Alien is all about low light situations. So they're going to film it with the 3D cameras and then deal with the lighting afterwards. So we'll see how that all turns out. I figured we'd end up this podcast and just talk all about everything that happened with the NFL draft. This is, we're both passionate about football. Draft day is almost like Christmas. Sure felt like it this year. And okay, like I'll get it out of the way. And this isn't just because I'm a Seahawks fan, but this has been the most remarkable 3 days I've ever seen for this team and this draft output. Like I'm in amazement. I was almost in shock yesterday when they kept making all these, or Saturday when it rather than yesterday, but when they were making all these deals, because you look and they lucked out and Russell Okung fell to him, then they lucked out and Earl Thomas fell to him. Okung going to shore up the offensive line. Earl Thomas, a dynamic playmaker in the backfield. In the defensive backfield. And then Golden Tate, who I didn't think would last to 60, falls to him, and he can give him a playmaker on offense. And then they had a couple more picks, which I thought were really nice picks too. But also to factor into this, picks were used to obtain Charlie Whitehurst, Lendale White, and Leon Washington. Lendale White and Leon Washington, they practically got for free. I expected this to be a down year. And now I don't see any reason why they can't contend for the NFC West. And that is exciting. That's exciting to me. Like I can't wait for this season to start even before the draft. I've already paid for my season tickets, which just kills me this early. But I was excited for it to happen, but then I looked at the schedule and first game is at home against the 49ers, who I think the 49ers have the best chance to win this division. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's the season right there. If they lose that game, I can pretty much know for sure. It's like the barometer of what to expect this year. Because they're either going to be bad, and I thought they were going to be bad, but they were going to show growth throughout the year, or they could contend, and I think that first game is going to be a big part of that. I expected them to come out of the gates and lose that first game. Now I think they could do something this year. So it's really gotten me excited. And then other teams, I thought the 49ers did a great job. Very physical picks, the two offensive linemen in the first round and Taylor Mays. I love the feud that's already starting up between the 49ers and Seahawks. Maybe this Taylor Mays thing is going to end up giving us like a true rivalry here, because Seahawks haven't really had a true rivalry since they moved out of the AFC West. Used to be the Raiders and the Broncos, especially, but moving into the NFC West, we had the Rams for a few years. But other than that, there's really no intense rivalries. I think this might do it. And you know what, Taylor Mays, Earl Thomas is better than you, so I'm not too worried about that. I like Taylor Mays though. He's just a different, completely different type of player. I am, I don't, I wouldn't say it worries me to see him on the 49ers, but it's going to be something to follow how he does. And again, it's the first game we'll get Taylor Mays up here. The Lions did a great job. They got some really good players, traded up and got Jahvid Best and got Sue in the first round, of course. And, they had a good draft. And then, of course, there was the big teams who had more questionable drafts, let's say. The Jaguars, very questionable draft. Chargers trading up from 28 to 12. I don't get that. There's some thought that the Seahawks would have taken Ryan Matthews. They weren't going to take a running back there. I don't know why anyone would say that. And then the Broncos had a questionable draft. They passed over Dez Bryant and took a different receiver, which actually I don't think is too bad a decision. But then they traded up. They basically traded a third, fourth, and fifth round pick. Or was it second, third, and fourth? Whatever it was a huge amount of value they gave up to get Tim Tebow. And we've discussed Tebow before. I think we both have a feeling that, this guy's going to work hard. He could end up being a good quarterback, could end up being a good leader. But man, they gave up an awful lot to get him. and it has everyone talking. What do you think about the Broncos' moves there?
Yeah, like you said, I think because he seems like he's still pretty raw at the position. It's a lot to give up for a guy who's a big question mark. There's no questioning his work ethic. He's gonna try to prove everyone wrong. He's gonna work as hard as he can, but you know, in the end, that may not be good enough to be a starting NFL quarterback, a good starting NFL quarterback. But you know, at the same time, I think he's gonna be okay. And you look at what they have now. They have Kyle Orton, who didn't have a bad year last year, but he's not the answer. He's not a long-term answer in Denver at the quarterback position. So, you know, I think that Tebow's going in a good system, you know, a good coach, and I think it's a right situation for him. He's not going to be asked to play. I think I even read an article on ESPN saying that he was going to play quarterback and that was it, and he was barely going to play this year. So I think that's good. You don't throw him in there right away. You give him a year to sit, you know, kind of watch and learn, and who knows what's going to happen. I'm not going to dismiss him, but I'm not going to say that, oh yeah, that's a great pick. He's gonna just do well in Denver, because I don't know with that guy, you know.
But boy, man, the Broncos had a lot of holes to fill, and that almost, you know, they could have gotten a good player there for a different position too.
I will say this though, I'm like I just like laugh every time I see one of these moves, like this Tebow move, drafting him, and almost seeing like it's like a reach. Seeing these Denver fans get so upset about it, like calling Josh McDaniels an idiot and the worst coach, and like,
Well, they have a lot of reason to not like Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, and that's like hilarious to me every time I read that. You know, just these guys. I knew when I saw that they drafted Tebow, I couldn't wait for the ESPN discussion. You know, like you can click on the article, and so
Oh,
whenever
you
I
had to
read.
wait for ESPN to. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I meant like on the article when it's posted up there. It was,
The comments.
yeah, the comments.
This is what. Yeah, this is what I do anytime something like during the draft. Anytime there was a weird pick, because I'd go to that team's like their main message board and just see people freaking out. I thought it was funny. You know, it's like I'd go to the Broncos message board, and there was a thread like, you know, we're the laughing stocks of the league or something. It's always fun to see people freak. But I actually appreciate them taking a pick that's not going to have an impact this year, because the Seahawks play him like the third week. So thank you. But John, what I look at with this is, you know, I thought Tebow would go to a team where the coach was really secure, entrenched there, a team that's a good team that had a good quarterback already, where they wouldn't feel pressured to move him into the lineup or push him along.
Like the Pats.
I don't see. Yeah, Patriots. Would have been like the perfect place, you know, with Jimmy Clausen falling to Carolina. Carolina probably would have been a good spot too. But in Denver, they have, you know, this is a very much a rebuilding team. They just got rid of all their good players. It'd be like the Seahawks drafting Tim Tebow, 14 or something. Why? You need help in so many places. That, you know, why would you want to draft a quarterback? Who says Josh McDaniels is going to be in there in 3 years when Tebow is maybe ready to start? I mean, these guys are, you know, maybe he thinks he has the job security, but if they have two more down seasons, good luck, Josh McDaniels.
And I haven't been able to take McDaniels too seriously, because he, from the moves that he's made, you know, the questionable moves, to me, he just looks like Daniel Tosh, you know, from Tosh.0. And it's like, I just picture that guy coaching, and it's just not serious, you know.
Yeah, and you got three quarterbacks there, all, you know, at best you could probably describe as mediocre. And Kyle Orton, he only has 1 year left on his deal, so he could be gone next season, you know, after this season. And then Brady Quinn, who knows if he's ever going to turn out to be anything. So they may be in a position where either they have to start Brady Quinn or Tim Tebow next year, or they sign a new quarterback to bring in. It's just kind of a tough spot to be in for a rebuilding team. They don't really have the offensive weapons yet. They don't. They tried to help their offensive line in the draft, but who knows how those guys are going to work in the system. So it's going to be fun to watch. We also had the if it goes down, if Tebow never comes, you know, it's going to be a few years before we know. But people will be arguing about it every day until then. And then we had the drops of the other quarterbacks in the draft. So Tebow goes in the first round, and Jimmy Clausen falls to the middle of the second round to the Panthers, and then Colt McCoy to the Browns at, I think it was 79. Who got the better steal there, the Panthers or the Browns?
Oh, you know, I don't even know. Because both of those guys were expected to go somewhat higher than what they were drafted, but I don't know. I think for me, I think I have more confidence in Colt McCoy than I do Jimmy Clausen. And it's just because, I don't know, like, when I've watched Clausen play, to me it just seems like he's another Brady Quinn, you know? Like, he's good, nothing impressive. He didn't really win a lot in college, you know? Mm-hmm. You look at Colt McCoy, the guy, he just seemed like he had a better college career. That doesn't necessarily mean that's going to translate over to the NFL, but it just, to me, it seems like he'd be better prepared to have a better impact in the NFL than Clausen would. Clausen's got the tools, but physical tools, but I'm you know, I'm just not sure how he's going to do in the end. I think what soured me on that guy, and it's kind of stupid to think that way, but it's is Brady Quinn, because he seemed to have a lot of the same abilities that Clausen did, you know, same type of college career. I think that maybe Quinn even had a better college career than him, you know? I don't know. I would think that the Browns got a better steal, but you can't argue with both, because they both were expected to go a lot higher than they did, so.
Yeah, you know, the more I looked into Clausen throughout the offseason, because he was a possibility to come to Seattle, so I started looking into him pretty deeply, the more I started to like him. And I don't, you know, he was saddled with a lot there in Notre Dame. The terrible defense. I can't fault him for losing those games, because he put up big numbers. The offense put up big numbers, even though it was pretty much just him and Golden Tate. Mm-hmm. And a terrible defense. Terrible defense. So I don't fault him for that. I think the question is, you know, the stuff that we don't see, what is he like? You know, this is what everybody's been questioning on him. Like, what is he like as a leader? What is he like behind the scenes? You know, what is his attitude? How is that going to translate to the NFL? We don't see that stuff. We can't judge on that stuff. So I think outside of that, I would have said Clausen made sense as a top 10 pick. But if he's, you know, so many teams passed him by that maybe you have to wonder if there is something there that's going to prevent him from becoming really good. Colt McCoy, perfect fit, I thought. I've always pegged him as a West Coast offense guy. Doesn't have the arm strength. He has arm strength for West Coast offense. He doesn't have the down the field arm strength. So being there with Holmgren, you know, he kind of reminds me of a Hasselbeck, just in that he doesn't have the big arm. He can't go deep, but he can be accurate. I mean, he had like a 70% accuracy rating in college. He'd be very accurate on the short passes. So it'll better than Jake Delhomme. At least they have a better. Yeah. You know what? You got. Browns fans at least have something to look forward to. Even if McCoy doesn't work out, at least you got a shot with McCoy.
And the good thing about, like, someone in Jimmy Clausen's, you know, the way he was drafted, how he slipped so far, it seems like those guys usually end up having a chip on their shoulder, and they try to play even harder and prove everyone wrong. So, you know, I think that Carolina, like I said, I think that they got a good steal with Clausen dropping that far. I think the Browns did as well with Colt McCoy. So we'll see how it all plays out. It's too early to judge. They haven't even stepped foot on an NFL field. You know, see what happens a few years down the line, which guy, you know, plays better. Which the other thing is, too, like, which quarterback is going to have better weapons, you know? That's the other thing, too. So.
Yeah, and right now that'd be Clausen. Mm-hmm. I think Clausen right now is in the best position of all four, if you count in Sam Bradford. Mm-hmm. You know, again, as a Seahawks fan, I look at what the other teams in the division are doing, and I'm not scared that the Rams drafted Sam Bradford, and that tells me something. Like, I didn't even want the Seahawks to take him if he fell to six. That Rams team, look, they tried to help their offensive line. They've got, you know, Steven Jackson. They've got Avery's a decent receiver. They drafted another, but that team still doesn't worry me, and he's going to have a couple rough years there. Clausen is on a team that competes, you know. John Fox gets that team ready, and the defense is still better than average. That team competes, and it's in a division where that division tends to flip over. Not that I think the Saints will fall down this year, but that division, you know, it goes. One year it's Atlanta, one year it's New Orleans, one year it's Carolina, one year it's Tampa Bay, and then just always somebody new in that division. That could be Carolina this year. I think he's got the best shot there. The Browns, they've got, you know, Holmgren did a good job, I thought, getting pieces for the defense. I don't know, is Jerome Harrison going to last the whole season running like he did at the end of the year? They don't have a real dynamic wide receiver. But McCoy isn't going to play this year much anyway. So I think Sam Bradford will be on the field. Clawson will probably be on the field this year, and Tebow and McCoy will probably be sitting. But yeah, I mean, that for years to come, this will be like one of those drafts that people look back at and say, of these four quarterbacks, who was the bust, or who were the bust, and who really ended up being the guy? And right now, it's tough to say. Any one of these four guys could end up being the best of the bunch, and any one of the four guys could bust out completely. That's kind of what caught my eye about all this. But yeah, it was a man, that was a wild draft with the. So you didn't like the Thursday night, Friday night setup?
No, not at all. And then coupled that Thursday night, I was watching between the Bulls and Cavs, and so there was just like, then I was missing Survivor. It was just like too much going on, on that Thursday for all that, So
That was a classic Survivor
oh
too.
yeah yeah it was so
I
yeah no
watched
I
right
didn't
after
like
the
it.
draft. I DVR'd that and the draft edit, and I'm like, should I watch post draft coverage or Survivor? And I hopped down and watched Survivor, and man, it was worth it, I'll tell
Yeah, well worth it.
you. That'll do it for the show this time around, guys. Thanks for listening in as we recap the Madden news and finish up with the NFL draft. And I got a lot coming up, like I said earlier. Screenshots of rookies in their uniforms, since EA didn't do that this year. And then I'm going to be doing draft grades for each one of the teams as it pertains to how these players are going to impact Madden 11. So thanks again. Thanks to Fred for joining me, and thanks everyone for listening in. And we'll be back next week. Take care.